From the beginning of the year, during the evening service, we've been going through the book of Proverbs, looking at God, what God has to say on various topics. Tonight we'll see what God has to say about the poor, the needy. The verse I chose is from Proverbs 14:31. I'll give you a chance to look it up in the Bible, turn to it. The version I'm reading from is from the ESV, so you might be a little bit different from yours. Proverbs 14:31. Whoever oppresses a poor man insults his maker, but he who is generous honors him. The questions we need to ask is, who are the poor? What is their poverty? And how can we meet their needs? Before we get into who is the poor, I want to just make one stipulation, is who is not considered the poor? The person who is lazy, the Bible calls him a sluggard. The one who refuses to work is not considered. He may be poor, but he's poor by his own oppression of himself, not wanting to work, feeling that he has a right to receive everything. And in 1 Thessalonians 3:10, it says, if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. So that's one person who will not be included as the poor. So who are the poor? In Jeremiah 22:3, it talks about the fatherless and the widow. In James 1, verse 27, it talks about the orphans. In Hebrews 13:3, it mentions those in prison. And throughout the Bible, those with physical and mental illness are considered the poor, and also the foreigner, the refugee. When it comes also to the widow, there's certain stipulations. They have to have no family, immediate family around them, no one to take care of them. And the second stipulation is they have to be godly women, devoted in prayer. When they met those requirements, then it was the church's responsibility to take care of them. So what is their poverty? There's unemployment today. There's physical and mental illnesses still. There's lack of education. And there's the addictions, which causes homelessness, which the root of that is spiritual poverty. So how do we meet these needs? First, I believe we truly meet their spiritual needs. And alongside, we meet their physical needs with the resources we have. There's a quote that says, charity begins at home. And that's how we as believers should look at the topic of the poor. We must help the poor in God's family first. James 2, verse 14 says, if a brother or a sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them things needed for them, for the body, what good is that? We must remember that the Bible was inspired by God for God's people. In 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture is breathed out by God for profitable, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. With that in mind, I truly believe Proverbs 14:31 was speaking to the family of God, the one who's doing the oppressing and the one who's being oppressed. Now it has a different tone to it when you look at it this way. We ask ourselves now, how do we oppress the poor within God's family? How do we insult the Maker when we do so? And how can we be generous to the poor? And how can we honor Him? For the first part, how do we oppress the poor? I believe one way is the social economic oppression. What I mean by that is when we look down on the brother or sister for not being in the same financial status as we are. James 2, verse 14 says, my brothers, Show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears fine clothing and say, you sit in a good place, while you say to the poor man, you stand over there or sit down at my feet. When you're telling someone to sit down at your feet, that means you see him as less than you. Have you not made a distinction among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Matthew 27, verse 51 says, and behold, the curtain of the temple was torn from top to bottom. That's God tearing it himself. In Colossians 3:11, it says, here there is not Greek, Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free. But Christ is all and in all. These three verses tell us that in God's eyes, there is not to be partiality in God's family. All are equal. Our view of each other has to be that way. We must be careful not to put up barriers within ourselves toward other people within the church, as the body of Christ, or even within this congregation. The second point in how do we oppress people, it's our attitude. There's many ways of oppressing people, but I think the attitude is the one that you could fit everything else in, and it wraps it all up. What was God's attitude toward the poor? In Exodus 3:7, God says, I've seen and heard the affliction and the cry of my people. And he says, I have come down. What does he mean he has come down? We know he literally didn't come down, but he means he's interceding for the poor, his people. So how did he intercede for the poor? He called Moses, a man of God, to go to the people of God, to set them free from their oppression with the help of God. And that's what he's doing today. He's using the body, the people of God, to help the poor within the body. It hasn't changed. In Deuteronomy 15:7, it says, if among you one of your brothers should become poor, and in any of your towns within your land that the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart or shut your hand against your poor brother. But you shall open your hand to him and lend him sufficient for his need, whatever it may be. Further down in verse 11 it says, you shall open wide your hand to your brother, to the needy and to the poor in your land. What does it mean, your attitude? I think it truly means your heart. It must be a reflection of God's heart toward the poor. When God saw the needy and he heard them cry, there was compassion that was stirred in him, and it drove him into action. And that's how we're supposed to have our attitude, our heart. It's supposed to drive us into action for the needy. If not, it leads us to the other point of insulting the Maker. It is interesting that the word God is not used, but rather in the Maker. I believe because Proverbs 14:31 is talking about both the oppressor and the oppressed worshiping the same God. Except the one who's doing the oppressing has lost sight that God is the Maker of them both. In Genesis 1:26, from the very beginning it says, let us make man in our image after our likeness. In Proverbs 22:2, the rich and the poor meet together. The Lord is the Maker of them all. Psalm 139, verse 13 and 14. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. We must not have the view that one person matters more than the other. God made mankind, Whether they choose to acknowledge it or not, he made them. If we forget this, then we are insulting our maker. So now comes the point, how do we help the poor? When meeting the needs of the poor, we must do in a way that we don't take away their dignity. It's important that we don't do that. If you offer to meet someone's needs, and then they in return say, well, can I help you with this and that, and you say no to them, you're taking a bit of their dignity that they have. Let them help you. It's a way of repayment for what you're doing to them, and it makes them feel good. In Galatians 2:9, when Paul met the apostles with Barnabas, they told him, don't forget the poor. His response was he was eager to help the poor alongside spreading the gospel. And that meant he was invested in it for a long term. Some of the brothers and sisters we need to help is only temporary. Some of it is long term. For instance, if you know a brother or a sister who is poor because they can't budget correctly, and you know how to budget, meet with them, teach them. But you'll never know if there's still that barrier. I'll tell you a story. It's a personal story. In 2013, I had decided I was going to go and be a missionary and work among the natives. I had quit my job. I had gotten rid of everything. That was my mistake, because I should have listened to God when he said no. The consequences were I was homeless, semi-homeless. I did have family here, but the situation wasn't right to live with them. So I had my luggage with only my clothes and a couple of books in there, and I had a little bit of money that I saved up, calculating how it would be if I went on that trip. Well, I ended up staying 3 weeks at Isaiah 40, which kind of drew out the money, and it was getting less and less and less. Where was I going to go? God placed it on the heart of a brother and sister to open their house for me. And I lived in that house for about 4 months, and they had 3 kids under the age of 5, and they were my wake-up call every day at 6 a.m., and they fed me. They never asked anything. But when I offered the little help that I could, either by doing dishes or playing with the kids for about an hour on the trampoline or chasing them around as the bear, as I'm known now, they let me do it. It was my way of paying back. And then they hired the little man in the back over there named Tony to fix a fence around their house. And Tony was gracious enough to hire me. I don't know why. He knows how I work. Watching us work together was like a comedy routine, like Abbott and Costello, except I was both Abbott and Costello. Tony paid me graciously more than he should have. And with that, I gave some to Alex and Ellen until I got back on my feet. And that helped me keep my dignity. So it's very important, no matter which way you help the poor among us, the family of God, their dignity is important. Meet them in any physical need. And also, don't forget, they still need the word of God preached to them. Just because they're in the family of God doesn't mean they don't need reminder of Scripture. So how do we honor him? I think John 13:35 says it the best. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. What better way in showing honor to God by taking care of the poor brother and sister among you? Matthew 25, verse 35 says, for I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And then they ask him, when did we do all these things to you? And the king will answer them, truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. This is how we honor him, by taking care of our own as he took care of us. Now what about the poor outside? We've taken the spotlight and we shone it on the poor within the family of God. Are we to forget the poor outside? No, we're not to forget the poor. But we're supposed to remember, what is their deepest poverty? And it's spiritual. We can give them the clothing, we can give them the food, but what about the Word of God? What about their soul? There's many organizations that meet those needs. The food, the clothing, that helps them get shelter. And that's all good, and I'm not saying that's bad. That's very good. But I truly believe as Christians, the people of God, we are to help them alongside meeting their physical needs, their spiritual needs. There's churches right now outside in Europe who are dealing with the refugee crisis, true churches. They're the hands and feet in the mouth of God. As well as they're meeting their physical needs, the gospel is being preached to them. And for those who never heard of Christ are hearing it for the first time, and they're seeing faith in action. The one that they say they believe in, they're truly living it out. There's a quote I want to read. The generosity of the church, both within and outside the family of faith, eventually led the anti-Christian Roman Emperor Julian the Apostate of the 4th century AD complain. He was complaining. Nothing has contributed to the progress of the superstition of the Christians as their charity to strangers. That shows us that we need to take care of those outside the body of Christ. The impious Galileans provide not only for their own poor, but for ours as well. So, before you leave, I'm not saying don't take care of the poor outside. It's clear that we must. But we must take care of the poor within first. And then it's an overflow that just flows out the door. And when the world sees that, as they did over here, and when we go out there, and then when we help them with their physical needs, whatever it may be, and then we preach the gospel to them, and we'd say the name Jesus to them that once was so bitter to them and offensive, then it just tastes so much sweeter because they've seen our love for our own and for them. God bless.